Hello and welcome to Podcast Suck, a podcast where we look to tackle the human condition as told through tech-focused lenses. My name's Sunny and I'm a quitter. Now the reason why I say I'm a quitter is because that is the topic of today's episode, quitting. Right, so today's guest is Neil. He is a good friend of mine and we used to work together, and Neil's just recently quit his job, so I thought today would be a really good time to speak with him about that and find out more about the situation he went through and the types of emotions that people go through during this process. Would you like to say hello, Neil?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Sunny, for inviting me onto this podcast.
No, you're most welcome. So I guess there's a few things that we can talk about in terms of this. So we used to work together. At an agency, both doing web development, and
we're both quitters.
Yeah, so we're both quitters. So we left at kind of different times, but I'm more interested in hearing about your situation with that. So,
sure.
What was your reason for looking to move on from that company?
So I think in regards to web development and any job in particular, really, there comes a time when you sort of have to move on. So with most jobs, I normally do see sort of a career ladder. With web development in particular, it's more like stepping stones. This particular job was just one of the initial starting stepping stones. And it came to a point where I just needed to move on and move to the next stone, essentially. I think the thing that made me move to the next stone, essentially, was just my growth there. It started to stunt a little bit. I wasn't learning as much. I didn't have the freedom to experiment as much as what I'd like to initially.
In order to understand how we get to a point where we quit, we need to first focus on how we got to that point to begin with. And one thing I wanted to try and cover with you, Neil, was how you got into the industry to begin with. So could you tell us a little bit about your journey into web development?
Yeah, sure, Sonny. So initially, I started out in the career path of law. Went to university, studied it there, then after went into a law firm. But it wasn't particularly my kind of thing, maybe a little bit boring for me. Not to say it's boring or anything, but it didn't have that sort of creative flair or that kind of presence for me. So essentially, a friend of mine was looking to build his own website. And instead of getting a web developer to do it for him, we thought we'd tackle it ourselves, you know, learn off tutorials, things like that. I made an absolute mess of the website. It was awful. But it gave me that sort of jump start into coding itself. And then from that, continued on with like YouTube videos, then went into a course taught by Treehouse. So they're just like sort of a boot camp course where you do different modules over the year, and then you get like a tech degree at the end of it, so it's all sort of self-study. And once I'd done that, then I landed my first job at an agency then.
Okay, so you managed to get your first job as a junior web developer?
Yes.
That the job title?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting. You managed to get your foot into the door, and I think there's an interesting thing, or this ongoing kind of trend or meme, where we talk about kind of what a person's initial expectations are of something compared to the reality of it. And how was that for you as a junior web developer? I mean, because obviously you studied quite a few things. You said you used Treehouse and YouTube and other platforms to try and prepare yourself for the world of web development. And how did that actually compare with how it was when you actually join the company?
Yeah, so I think places like Treehouse, YouTube, they give you a good start to things. But a lot of things don't prepare you for actual true web development. But I, you know, it's the same with any job, really. You have to just get hands on with it. You have to go in and meet it head on.
But yeah, I think that's a problem that a lot of people have as well. It's not just limited to tech, is it? Like, it's kind of like when you go into any industry, if you studied that thing before, it's never the same as the real working example of something. Especially, I guess, in the case of tech, it's kind of like, you know, if you have to deal with any bugs or something or problems with the code, a lot of the time these tutorials don't
absolutely.
I mean, have those bugs, right?
Totally. With the tutorials, they'll or like a project that you're doing, there'll be a specific answer and there's a way to do it. You've just, they can normally give you prods and pokes in a certain direction with how to handle the problem. But when you're doing something as a job, you've got to figure it out yourself. You've got to go to the documentation, which you do in web development, and you've got to figure out how to specifically deal with this problem that you're faced with. Especially with bugs as well, you've got to try and track the bug down, which you don't normally do as much when you're just learning off tutorials, because you'll follow the tutorial spot on, you'll get an app working, great stuff. But it doesn't teach you that side of it, so you have to sort of you have to give yourself a little bit of you have to give yourself a little bit of,
do you mean like a bit of leeway? Or
You have to give yourself a little bit of leeway. Don't be too harsh on yourself, essentially, which I think me and you both have.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting that you raised that as well, because I guess you have to be thick-skinned and have some perseverance
absolutely.
In this industry.
Yeah.
And just like anything else as well, especially when you're starting out.
It's all just one big learning curve.
Yeah.
So you just have to, I think if you take any advice from this is persistence. You have to just be persistent with it, and you have to be comfortable with failure. You have to be comfortable not knowing something, because eventually you will know something. And it's just about progressive enhancement. You'll slowly learn little bits. And then over the years you'll develop into a developer. That's just the way it goes. But yeah, try not to be too hard on yourself is
cool. Okay, I think that's really good. And that's it. You know, that perseverance is, if you have that, then you won't quit.
Yes.
If you don't
exactly.
have it, you'll quit.
Yeah. So jumping back to the main topic at hand, which is quitting. Now that we've covered sort of the foundations of how I got to be, and probably how a lot of other developers became developers themselves. I think when you get to that point where you're not learning as much and you feel a bit stagnant and you feel like you could be doing more, that's probably the time to start looking elsewhere. I mean, in my particular situation, the developers that I were working with, the senior, had moved on themselves, and I ceased to be that sponge, the knowledge sponge, because I didn't have any water to soak up, essentially. Terrible metaphor, I'm sorry. But they moved on. I couldn't sponge as much from them. So I had to do what most developers have to do, is they have to learn themselves. But I think it comes to a point when you can only learn so much. But this is very sort of specific to my situation. And that's why I chose to move on to, I needed to sort of grow more, and I felt stagnant in the position that I was in particular.
Cool. So you're about to go into this new job in the next week or so. And we touched a little bit about how your expectations before you entered web development were not necessarily aligned with how it really was. Are there some lessons that you've learned from being in this first job that you can take into that second job in terms of expectations against reality?
Yeah. As I said before, don't be so hard on yourself. always stick with it, because you know throughout development and throughout any job really, you won't get it straight away. You just won't, and that's okay. Be okay with that. That you're stuck on something, you can't figure it out, but know that you will figure it out. Especially if you've got a team with you as well, and it's okay to lean on others and get advice from others. But just know that things will sort themselves out, and you'll grow from this, because it's very easy to get into the mindset of, oh, I can't do this. Try not to. I'd say my advice would be try not to stick with that mindset. Try and welcome failure and welcome that uneasy feeling of not knowing.
Yeah, and that's it. I think although it's kind of, you know, it's been discussed enough times in general, but failing at something is not a bad thing. It's, you know, I think some people refer to it as kind of failing forward, where you have to try something in order to fail, and that's better than not trying the thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely something, some lessons that you can learn from that, I guess. One thing I wanted to also mention was the impact of people around you and how that can impact on whether you decide you want to quit or not, or move on. Do you think that the people around you have an influence on whether you stay in a job or not?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think if you're in a good team, you can bounce ideas off each other, you can learn from each other. You know, you might know something that they don't, they teach you, you know. It's all sort of a growing environment when you've got good colleagues around you. I think with me and you in particular, we had this situation where we both felt like an island in our previous jobs, just because it was, I was the sort of lead developer there. I became the lead developer very quickly from a junior, and you became the only person working there. And that isolating feel is probably not great for anything really. I mean, in any job, when you've got colleagues that you can talk to about things, even outside of work really, you can just, it's more humanistic when you've got more people to talk to. It just makes your job feel more relaxed. I think that is a big sort of part of the equation, you know, in staying in your job. You know, if you've got good pals to talk to, not just about work.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely a thing that goes into the equation.
That's interesting as well, because I do feel that the environment of a workplace has just as much of an impact on the type of work, on whether you stay there, against kind of, you know, the type of work you're doing as well. In my case with the most recent place that I am also quitting, one of the key factors was the fact that I felt like an island and didn't have anyone there that I could bounce ideas off of, and that I think that became somewhat hazardous, because you get to a point where you don't really, like, no one argues against you. You know, you might start to do something and you think it's the right way, and it may be the right way, but it may not be the right way.
Can't really argue with yourself. No. Doesn't kind of work.
No, exactly. It doesn't work. And, you know, we've tried before, I'm sure, but I think there's quite a few different things that can kind of impact on whether a person decides to quit or not. So did you, when you were in the job as a web developer, did you quit first and then find a job, or did you already have something lined up?
Yeah, I had something lined up and then quit after finding, I found the position, I got the position.
Okay, and how did you find the job?
The job itself, agencies would sort of contact me, you know, being on LinkedIn and places like that, it's fantastic. So I highly do recommend it. I really do recommend being on places like LinkedIn. That really does help.
Yeah, we're quite fortunate as web developers generally, aren't we? Because
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's I don't think it's, well, for anyone who's not aware, generally there's quite a demand for people to work in our industry. And as a result of that, a lot of people will get in touch.
You'll get hounded.
Yeah. Like a lot of recruiters get in touch on LinkedIn or via direct email or whatever. I don't think that's something that's necessarily common in other industries. No. I mean, it certainly wasn't before when I worked in office jobs. I can't recall any recruiters knocking down my door to offer me another office job. So, we're very fortunate in that respect. So somebody contacted you through LinkedIn. You had an interview and things like that. And the next thing you know, you've got a new job.
That's it.
Okay, that's amazing.
As easy as that.
So I guess when you've got that kind of leverage or power, it makes it easier to quit your job.
Yeah. I've heard people say, you know, web developers are a bit like mercenaries.
I have heard that.
It is said. We do have this sort of power, I suppose, that once we learn a fair bit of web development, we have that privilege that agencies will start contacting us and be like, here's a job, do you want it? And, you know, it's up to us whether we take it or not.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair on companies that employ us?
Good question. Yeah, I think it's fair if they have the knowledge that this is what web developers or developers in general are like. You know, a lot will sort of jump and hop from job to job. That just appears to be the nature of the job itself. You know, there are developers that stay with companies because, you know, they love the environment, they love where they work, they love what they do. But I think it's essential for a company to know that this will happen and may possibly happen, is that the developer will hop.
Yeah. And I guess that's just the case, isn't it? It's like you said, you know, if the environment's not quite right or you don't necessarily feel valued in your job anymore, then naturally you'll move on. And that's not just limited to people working in tech. I guess it's just, we're a bit more fortunate in the fact that we feel a bit more empowered to be able to move on.
Yeah, because we have people, agencies contacting us, and it gives us that opportunity. But yeah, as you say, it is just like any other job. I mean, one topic we've not really covered yet in that regard is money. As cold as it sounds, you know, if the cash is higher somewhere else, if you need to get more money somewhere else, it makes sense to move.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, money is a massive factor in this, and we've not even covered that yet. So, you know, if a company are willing to offer you more money, and that puts you and your family or your partner, whoever it may be, in a more comfortable situation, then you're going to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think there's much that other companies can say if they're not willing to match your salary, right?
Yeah.
So, with regard to quitting as well, so. So you were offered this job. Let's say you got offered the job on a Monday, and you then have to tell your current employer that you're quitting. How was that process for you? And like, what kind of feelings or emotions did you have going into that?
Yeah, so I was the only developer working there at the time in the company, and I was very sort of hesitant to tell them. I'd found a new job. So I told the operations manager, and then he told the director of the company. And it just sort of went from there, really. But the whole sort of situation was sort of daunting. I mean, working there 3 months' notice, I mean, I imagine there's many of you out there who have felt that feeling of sort of not belonging anymore, because you've handed your notice in. You've got a month or 2 months or whatever it is left, and you sort of left with this feeling of, like, it's not betrayal, but it sort of feels like it a little bit. So I think, you know, those were the feelings I was mainly feeling at the time.
I think the bit you've mentioned with regard to kind of that process of working a notice period is it's definitely something I felt as well in any of the jobs that I've had where you quit, but you still have to work a month or 2 months or however long it is. And there's this feeling that kind of you don't get given any new tasks anymore. It's almost like you're the, you become like the
Judas.
The Judas. Like, I was going to say maybe like the pet dog that's about to die and
that's it.
And everyone around has kind of already started to come to terms with the fact that you're going.
They're already dead.
So unfortunately, we didn't get to finish the conversation with Neil as we were in a public venue and the noise level started to increase as more and more people entered. So probably a bit of a silly decision to make, but oh well. So this episode is probably a little bit disjointed in that regard, but I just wanted to take a moment to talk about a few other bits that are related to quitting. So often when you decide to quit something, it's quite normal for there to be an internal monologue with yourself where you ask these questions and try to figure out whether you're making the right decision or not. But sometimes it can be hard to really categorize those feelings or questions that you have. So what you should really do, though, is look to ask yourself four questions before you quit something so that you know that when you're ready to give up on a job or a big project or whatever it is, you know, it's hard to know whether you're even making the right choice. But if you ask these questions, that can help a little bit. So the first question is to say to yourself, why did I pursue this in the first place? So every worthwhile endeavor will often have its challenges and setbacks. And in testing times, it can be easy to get fixated on how bad or dire things are and ignore why we pursued the project or said yes to the job offer or whatever it is in the first place. The second question is, why do I feel the need to quit? Now, we want to quit something when it makes us unhappy or uncomfortable. In addition to understanding why we took it on in the first place, figuring out why we're thinking of giving up makes it easier to decide what's best. The third question you should ask is, have I done everything I can to make this work for me? Now, sometimes your frustrations might come from change, and the best thing to do in this instance is to embrace it. But other times, you've maybe tried one method and it didn't succeed. So you try a different approach in order to get different and hopefully better results. And people do this a lot when they try to pivot from one thing to another. There will often be times, though, when it doesn't matter how often you try to pivot something, it just doesn't lead to the results you want. And that may be, for example, you have an issue with a project at work and you try to introduce a new method or a new way to deal with whatever this problem is, and maybe the co-workers are not open or embraceful of that change. And sometimes, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter how often you try to make those pivots, you just don't get the results you want. But at least if you try, then you can be comfortable in yourself in knowing that at least you tried to make those changes and you didn't just make some rash decision to leave or quit. The fourth and probably the most important question to ask yourself is, what do I have to gain by quitting? Now, everything that you do has an opportunity cost, whether you choose to do something or not. And sometimes quitting something means that you gain more to do something that's more important to you. And one other thing that's worth noting as well is that quitting something may not always lead to the happiness that you think it will. And there can be a number of reasons for this. One, for example, may be that the thing you are quitting was not the thing that was making you unhappy in the first place. It may be that there are other factors around that are the real source of the unhappiness, but we choose to use other things as our scapegoats. And that's normal for us to do because we're humans. We're not programmed to make rational decisions all of the time. Okay, so that was our episode on quitting. I know it was a little bit choppy as well, and some bits didn't segue into other bits as well as they could have. Ultimately, you know, this podcast venture is new and I'm trying really hard not to quit. So please bear with me as we kind of persevere together through this. If you found the topic interesting, then please let us know, because then we know if we're doing the right thing. Likewise, if you thought it was really boring, tell us as well, so that we can do less of that and more of other things. So, yep, thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next episode very soon.